Hey guys, Pastor Jeremiah here. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Tonight, we're finishing off our series, Level Up, Knowing Your Season and Thriving. Listen, take notes, take out your Bible, and be blessed. So, yeah, we have a proud man, Judah, over here, just so excited. He was just, yeah, you know, we're here for couples. We're here for it. All right, guys. It is so good to just, you know, see what God is doing in this church. And tonight we are concluding our Level Up series, right? But next week, here's the cool part. Next week, there's this really awesome opportunity because we are going back to group discussions about Level Up. Are you guys excited about that? If you guys haven't been here, and you're wondering, what in the world are people getting excited about? What we truly believe, my heart for young adults, is for you all to be able to discuss the Word of God so that you can apply it. Because it says in the Word of God, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So I think it is absolutely important for you to be able to ask questions to each other, to share practical advice, to learn from what other people have gained from it, because honestly, hearing it over and over again, sometimes you may just go in one ear and out the other, but whenever you get to discuss it and make it more tangible and practical, it's going to be awesome for you. So I'm really excited about that. But tonight, we are finishing up the series, and it is something that I am excited for because I want us to get back to what is really important. In this series, we've talked a lot about being single, relationships, the stage of not knowing what it is, and how to kind of navigate those seasons of life. There were a lot of questions. I want to look, and I saw that we had about 42 questions. I believe 9 of them were answered. So there were a lot of questions there. Someone used my name to ask a question. I don't know who you are, but man, I saw that. I'm like, I did not ask that question. Did not ask that question. It was something about how do you decide what to eat for your spouse? And I was like, do not ask questions you do not want to know the answer for. All right. But it was in that there were some things that were wondering about how to kind of make definitive remarks on how do you know, when was that God moment? You know, those are all things that are really subjective. And I don't want to give you guys an answer of like, hey, you'll have this eureka moment. But I do want to say that the Holy Spirit is living inside of each and every person, right? And I truly believe when you are wanting to honor God in a relationship and you're wanting to show Him through how you pursue, you're going to have a peace. It says in the Word, my peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I truly believe, especially for men, as you lead, you will be able to discern, man, I have peace with going and saying, hey, this is going to be the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And to kind of, you know, point us back to this closing thing is how we level up starts and ends with one thing, seeking Jesus. That is the ultimate goal I want everyone here to be completely assured of, is no matter where you are in your relationship status, the way you level up best is by seeking Jesus. And I want you to see this be so clear, but also to give language to what does seeking look like. Because how many of you guys heard the word seek, right? We use it a lot in Christianity, but sometimes it becomes like a Christianese word. What I mean by that, a Christianese word is a word that everyone's like, yeah, I know. And then you're like, explain that. And you're like, yeah, I pray, read my Bible. I got the Bible app on my phone. All right. I see you, Richard. Yeah, you got that. you know, you have these things that you define as seeking, but I want to give you a practical example, right? If you lost something, you lost your keys. How many of you guys have lost your keys before? Amen. Right? Oh, some guys, it's a little too relatable here, right? Okay, I'm not going to give you advice on how to find keys. If you have an AirTag, praise God for that. But what is so important to know in this example is if you lose your keys to your car, can you just say, oh, I'm seeking, trying to find my keys, and then just go sit on the couch? No, right? You can't go to the place you're supposed to go, but you can keep on saying, well, I lost my keys, right? You can keep on identifying what is the present circumstance, but not doing anything about it, but simply saying, I lost my keys. Why I say that in the beginning is because I want you to know seeking God isn't something you just say, it's something you do that requires your time, your effort, your devotion, and until you find it, you still seek. Right? And we're going to first look at this, and I want you guys all to see, because I want you to be so confident that this is Jesus speaking, not Pastor Jeremiah speaking to you guys. This is Jesus speaking. I want us to all go into our Bibles. And I was like, hey, I'm going to have my Bible out here. I have my iPad Bible, but I'm going to use my physical Bible because I want to show you guys here in Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, some of you may know Jeremiah 29:11, right? How many of you guys have heard Jeremiah 29:11? Oh, wow. I thought more. All right. It used to be a very popular verse that it would be on like the bumper sticker, your keychain. It's a nice verse. If you read it out of context, it sounds great. But I want you to understand that seeking in the Bible a lot of times came from a place of desolation. It didn't come from like because times were easy, because it was convenient. It came from a place of hardship. So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to go through verses 10 through 14, it says this: For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Now, before I begin, let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, we have your word before us and we are wanting to be teachable. We are wanting to truly seek you with all our heart. God, to know what it is to seek you, to level up in the way that honors you, that shows the world who you are. So Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see what you want us to see. To see ourselves through how you see us. Open our ears to hear your voice. Speak louder than our own. And Father, would this heart of stone be a heart of flesh so that we could be teachable, that we could learn and produce fruit that grows to be more like you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So you look at this, and a lot of times people focus on verse 11, which it says, For I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil. You're like, oh, this just sounds so great. But it's in response to the Israelites being captives for 70 years. 70 years of being held captive. But then it says this, and this is where sometimes I feel like in Christianity, what we do is we want God to do all the work and for us to relax. You know, it's sometimes like where, were you guys ever back at home and your mom said, hey, bring out the china from somewhere. And you're like, I don't know where it is. Where is it at? And everyone knows that the china's in one location, but because you're too lazy to look, you just decided to ask, I don't know where it is. Have you ever felt like that before? Okay, guys are honest here. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. It's because we don't really want to seek what we really need. We want it to be easy. We want it to be like, zero effort. We want it to come at a convenience for us. But seeking isn't about convenience. It's about because you're desperate. Like, if you're casually trying to seek God, it's not really seeking. Sometimes, like, I feel the English words do us a disservice of what is actually being recorded through the scripture. So I want us to see this in light of what the Bible says in the Hebrew and the Greek, and we're going to go through that. But I want you to know that every one of you are seeking something in your life to change. Every single person. Some of you may be career-oriented. You're looking to get to that next promotion. You're looking to advance yourself, to have that next great accomplishment. You're seeking recognition. You're seeking approval. Whether it be sometimes from a girl or a guy or maybe your boss, maybe it's your parents. And because you don't know the formula, because you don't know what they're after, you're constantly trying to do something for them to respond. And then you get tired, then you get bitter, and then you get frustrated about why isn't things happening. Does that sound relatable? I find that we're all seeking things so focused on the outward, but are we truly seeking what's inward? Are we truly seeking to grow in our relationship with God so much so that the things of the world mean so little? Now, this is something that you can always say, like, yeah, God's everything. But what are you seeking? What are you spending your time after? If you say you're seeking God, but you're spending your time trying to get the next paycheck, trying to get the next girl's affection, I want to tell you, you're not going to have much time for Jesus. You're not going to have much time for Jesus because seeking God, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, everything else God will bring to you. But do we really believe that that's true? Do we really believe that seeking God is the greatest thing, or is he a side quest, not the main mission? Because in leveling up, if you get too distracted on the side quest, you can never accomplish the main mission. And I think sometimes in our life, we don't believe that that is true, that seeking God gives us everything we need. Why is it so easy for us to desire things of the world, whether it be money, whether it be accolades, whether it be a person's love and affection, where we get that drive to just go after things, whether it's something pure, whether it's something not pure. There is something that always compels us to take our attention away from Jesus. It says in the Word of God, you cannot have two masters. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, are you really letting Jesus be the Lord of your life? True growth happens when you seek God with your whole heart. And I want to say whole heart because you have to be fully engaged in the pursuit of God, not in getting your answered prayer request. It says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Verse 13, I will be found by you, says the Lord. You can't deny that this is scripture. The Lord himself is literally speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, saying that this is true. So whose word are you believing? The thing that I find, as especially as young adults, what we really are saying, we don't want to accuse the devil. We don't want to say it's all temptations. But what we have said in replace is our experience. I haven't experienced God whenever I saw him that one time. And we make it about like these one-off moments with Jesus that make us so satisfied with our pursuit. But I'm going to tell you, just like pursuing a person, you can't occasionally pursue your life partner. My pursuit of learning my wife doesn't end because we're married. It continues. And it blossoms into a beautiful relationship. It blossoms into something deeper and deeper because you can never get enough when you're seeking to learn someone's heart. If you think you have enough of Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you're not seeking after the right king. Because he will truly satisfy you. I know that because his word says that. And you have to be focused on, if you're feeling complacent, if you're feeling stagnant, focus on leveling up with the Lord. Don't worry about, man, I don't know who the girl's going to be. I don't know what boy's going to pursue me. Focus on Jesus, because that word is still true, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's break it down. Let's go deeper. And I want us to go to the book of Psalms. And in Psalms, we're going to go to Psalms 105. And it's a proclamation talking about good, the goodness, the greatness of God. Psalms 105. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. See, the word seek is found from the Hebrew word darash, and it means investigate, pursue, relationship. It's not a casual glance. It's not something that you just do just randomly. It's very intentional. I want to say, are you intentional with seeking the Lord and his strength and his presence in your life? Or are you so focused on trying to be strong in your own strength? I'm not here to bash on you. If you're feeling weak, sometimes you're in survival mode. Sometimes you're just straight up like, I'm just trying to survive. Have you ever felt like that? That you're just like, I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm just trying to survive this moment and I'm doing whatever I can. But sometimes doing whatever we can is absent from being still in the presence of God. And I find that we've misinterpreted what God wants us to do. He sees that people are hurting. He sees that you are trying your best. And I'm not here to belittle you or try to condemn you. I'm here to say you're doing too much. Because if you just seek His face, His presence, you will find that that's all you need. If you start, like as the psalmist says, remembering what He's done. It is so important to remember how God has constantly showed up in your life. Because guess what? The enemy is going to remind you about all your failures. He's going to remind you of how bad your situation is, how other people probably think worse of you. It's so crazy how mental health struggles have only increased. Even though we talk more about mental health struggles, even though there are more therapists and mental health facilities available, it's only increased. Notice that even though we know that these are problems in our world, it hasn't solved it. And I'm not trying to belittle. I encourage people to find counselors. I encourage people to seek help. I'm not against it. But a lot of times I find that as soon as one problem is solved, there's another one that opens up. And then another one. And then you're just trying to plug every hole and trying to make sure your boat is surviving. But notice when Jesus was in the storm, what was He doing? Sleeping. That doesn't make sense to us. That passage really always blows my mind. How in the world did Jesus sleep? When the disciples were like, "Yo, Jesus, we're about to drown." It's because He knew the end of the story. Sometimes you don't realize that God wants to give you the grace to be still, but also the grace to make one step in the right direction. And why sometimes we can't feel satisfied in leveling up is because we want the end goal. We're like, "I just want this problem resolved. I just don't want to be single anymore." Maybe that's some of you right here tonight. You're saying to yourself, "I just don't want to be single anymore. I just want to have a commitment in this relationship for marriage. I just want to know that I'm in the right place." If you start setting goals that are not of God, you'll never fully be satisfied with where you are. You can always improve. You can always find ways to grow. But a lot of times I find that Christians are the most dissatisfied people. They're always like, "Yeah, I could do better with my Christian life. I can pray more." I don't know why I just got like a Southern accent. I'm sorry, guys. Like, you can always find different things to nitpick about, but are you okay because you know that Jesus is with you? Are you okay because, man, I just spent 5 minutes today praying and, man, God just really blessed me with this, the Bible verse of the day. Don't have to be overly spiritual. I opened up my Bible and then this verse blew out and I'm just like, wow. Like, Jesus can speak to you in anything. But are you still enough to just seek Him and Him alone? Not Him to like, "Hey, help me deal with this coworker. Help me solve this problem." But it's your face that I seek. I seek your presence. That is what helps us level up, is understanding that we don't need the problem solved. We just need the problem solver in our midst. See, the word derash invites discipline. Prayer, worship, scripture are not chores, but simply a pathway to experiencing His presence. I want to ask you guys, do you worship in your alone time with Jesus? Not just simply when you're cruising down, I got a worship song on, but what is your worship with God? And sometimes I feel like we got great worship. Shout out to the worship team. We got some awesome, yeah, you guys can give them applause. It's nothing against the worship experience, but sometimes I feel like we don't know how to worship by ourselves. Sometimes you're waiting, oh man, God, I can't sing. He is not looking for your pitch-perfect ability. He is looking for your obedience. And God, because you're worthy, I'm willing to worship you because you deserve my praise. Do you ever tell, when you see people screaming at concerts, do you ever see someone say, hey, stop screaming, you can't do it? Do you ever hear someone, I mean, I've been to some concerts, there's sometimes I wish that happened, but you don't, because you just appreciate the fact that people are excited to sing. There's something, there's a connection of being a part of something. And I find that as Christians, we are so feelings-based instead of obedience-based. Like, I have to feel good enough to worship. I want to tell you, you need to stop letting that stop your worship and your praise to God. Sometimes you got to start seeking God, and man, you feel frustrated. Just turn on worship music. Praise God. Whenever you feel like, man, I got rejected by the job. Start worshiping. Start worshiping because you are not dictated by what the world does, but by what your king says about you. Your king says that you are anointed, holy, and righteous, set apart. You are called for something greater. So you start praising God that you got rejected because he has something better for you. See, that's when you really start got to realize that verse, I have plans for you of hope and a better future. You realize that my job rejection was for a better future that I can't see, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful because I'm learning to seek first the kingdom. I'm satisfied because it's not what someone has defined, what the business has defined, what people have defined, but what Jesus has said about me. And that's why I'm leveling up. The next word I want you guys to see is found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And here's the thing, because a lot of times in leveling up, what's stopping you and I from truly leveling up is this one word, worry. You worry you're not doing enough. You worry that your failures are going to stop you from receiving something. You worry that how people have perceived you will stop the right person from coming into your life. I want to tell you that that is not what God has said about you. Because it doesn't matter what 1,000 people say about you. God knows exactly what you need, and he will bring the right person. I see, the thing is I've learned to be so much more confident because I know that no matter what people say about me, I know that my wife loves me. I have that one person in my life that, man, people can think so little, but at least I have my wife here to tell me, like, man, grounds me in the word. Man, sometimes she's really savage towards me. Sometimes, not gonna lie. She's real savage. I love her. Savage, though. But I love that when you're so fixed on who loves you instead of who doesn't love you or what you can't control, and you're focused on who controls your future, you'll realize that worry is something based on your lack of control. And if you read verses 25 to 34, you'll see how the Lord calls us to handle worry. But I want us to focus on verses 31 to 34. It says, therefore, do not worry. Say that. Do not worry. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Ladies, and sometimes guys, hey, I'm here for everyone. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Amen. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, say all these things, shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, you need to understand that first in this statement, they were very practical things. Notice that this isn't trying to make you live in la-la land. It's a practical reality. Sometimes we're looking at your bank account. You're like, what am I going to eat? How am I going to get gas in my car? But look at verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Guys, can you just let that be true? God knows that you need things that you don't have right now. God knows. He knows it. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Meaning, how do I honor him and make my life submit to his will? Notice it doesn't say your righteousness. And this is why I think Christians do a terrible injustice to the Word of God. We make it about trying to be good enough instead of allowing His Word to define our lives, and then we are made righteous in Him. Why I say that is because I find that sometimes in Christianity is we think that we know what it is to be righteous. You think that your life and how you live is good enough. Why I say that is, do you question right now everything you do and you say, God, you can have complete control? If God were to say, I want you to change every little part of your life, would you say, yes, Lord? Or would you say, God, why can't I? Why can't I have this in my life? Why can't it be okay? I want to tell you, I loved how Pastor Mike, whenever he was answering the question about boundaries in physical relations with someone, what are boundaries prior to marriage? And he didn't tell you guys what you could and couldn't do. But he gave the example of if you go too close to the edge, you could fall off. And I think sometimes what we do is our righteousness is like, at least I'm not falling off the cliff. And what that really looks like to the world is like we define ourselves as being a little bit better because we're not doing that sin. But if I'm letting the Lord to define my righteousness, man, I'm going to have to say no to a lot more things. Do you realize that his righteousness means a lot of, Lord, I will submit to your will? Has little to do with giving you a license to sin. Has a whole lot to do with, I'm going to have to cut out things in my life. Because his righteousness is worth it. And this is why it's difficult as young adults is because we pick and choose which parts of the Bible we abide in. So we say, I'm seeking God, but I still want to do these things. And then you're also saying, God, how come you haven't showed up? And the Word says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. There's an order to it. If you're wondering why you're stagnant, why things haven't come full circle, and I'm not saying that instantly it'll happen, but you can have peace and confidence when you've surrendered everything to Jesus. What you have when you don't surrender everything is frustration. And you see this oftentimes in the Bible, people getting frustrated. It's usually when they've done something in disobedience. When they've done something not fully correct according to the Lord. It says the word seek is the word zetio. I probably butchered that. But it means to implies a focused, ongoing pursuit, a crave. You guys all probably have an understanding of what it is to crave something. Whether it's craving something for, going to be honest, my wife, hopefully on Monday, we're having our child. Great. I have bought, thank you. Having a little son. My wife craves ice cream like nobody's business. I'm grateful, trust me. But I just told a friend, I was like, hey, my wife, she likes vanilla ice cream. So I bought it for her. You can go hang out with her. And then I look at home and the tub's gone. And I'm like, babe, you're craving a lot. I get home and sometimes she's like, hey, can we go to McDonald's, get a Blizzard, get a Frosty? I'm working it. And the thing is the craving isn't satisfied with just one day. It's constantly there. So here's the question. Are you craving God for just one day's anointing, approval, fulfillment, or this an ongoing thing? Where you're like, man, I need more. I need more today. And what happens is because we're so in tune with like the emotional aspect of ourselves is we love feeling the presence of God. We love this, but then you go to work tomorrow and then you're not as intentional with your time with the Lord. And then you're like, ah, well, I had a good time last night, so everything's going to be good. And then all of a sudden something happens at the workplace and you're like, dang, that messed me up for the whole weekend. See, is your satisfaction in God just so that you can have like a roller coaster ride with Him? Or do you want to constantly be leveling up? Where you're growing deeper and deeper and deeper? Everything else finds its place when God is first sought after. Everything else. I want to challenge you. Try God and watch how everything else will work out. You tell me, hey, I'm a bad student. I can't do this. Try Jesus. Take 30 minutes, spend it with the Lord. Watch as you seek first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, I am a living testament to this, and I promise you, you will be too. All these things means all these things. God does not owe anyone anything. You want to know, don't try to get what you're searching for from a job or people's praise. Seeking God tells you who you are. It reminds you who you are. Because everything else in this world is trying to belittle the God-spoken word over your life. It's trying to define you by what you have done, by your bank account, by your job, by where you go to church, where you grew up. There's so many things in this world that's trying to limit and put a cap on what God wants you to do. I'm not trying to say ignore reality, but I'm here to say when you seek God, you start realizing that your identity is so much greater than what the world has described it by. You're so much more than a job description. You're so much more than what people have expected of you. You are beautifully created in His image and called to do something great. But until you spend time with the Lord, the things of the world are going to define you. It's going to say, oh, hey, as long as you go to church, you're good enough. You're leveled up enough. But I am believing in this room there are people who are going to see miracles. I'm believing that in this room there are people who are going to win hundreds to Jesus. Because I know when people seek the Lord in His righteousness, God is wanting to do, it says in His word, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power. So guess what? It's not based on what you have been doing. You need to stop limiting yourself. Stop saying, oh, I've done enough. Ask the Lord, hey, God, what can I do more for You? What can I do to show Your love to this world? When you start seeking first the kingdom of God, He tells you who you are because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3, 1, 2, 3 says that. Set your minds on things above. What are you leveling up in? If it's so focused on a career-based objective, on a life goal objective, I'm going to tell you, you will never fully be satisfied. You may even have like things in relationship. For some people in this room, you're thinking about, okay, how do I figure out? How am I going to get to the next relationship with the individual? I just have to have a eureka moment. No, let God be the focus and He'll give you peace. Stop making decisions so worried about it falling apart. I'm going to speak to guys in this room. Guys, you will never know how to pursue a girl if you don't know how to seek Jesus first. You will never know how to fully pursue a woman when you don't know how to pursue God. Because what has happened in our world, what has crippled men, is that we've lost a perspective of pursuing things. Because sometimes we're like, well, I just don't know. I'm going to tell you, pursuing a girl, a woman, means having to do things in faith. Doing things that may get you uncomfortable. But if you've never done that with Jesus, you won't have that strength and confidence to do it. So I encourage you, don't make your first time pursuing anything be focused on a woman if it hasn't been on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and everything. God will give you so much wisdom. I cannot wait till one day you guys are the people that the world is asking about relationships. My prayer, my desire isn't for pastors to be the only one able to speak on relationships, but for yourselves to be the one. Because how many of us know that the world needs godly wisdom in that area? We need godly wisdom. But we need to know to seek Him, because it tells us why we do what we do. Because I'm doing it to honor God. I'm doing it to show my love for Jesus. I'm doing it because I trust God. So here's the final caveat is sometimes you can't fully seek God. It's because you have yet to fully trust God in your pursuit. You don't trust that it's worth your time. You don't trust that things will work out. You've experienced failures. And a lot of times, like I said, it's because you've experienced something that was counter to what you thought God wanted. I want to say, stop making God the bad guy in your life. He is worthy of so much more. He is worthy of your trust. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I love what it says right after that. And lean not on your own understanding. You can't fully trust in God if you're leaning on everything off your own wisdom. What you've experienced in life. Because I want to tell you, God sometimes wants to break the mold on what has happened in your life. But do you trust that He will? That He's enough? That it's just a simple act of faith? Because seeking Him clarifies the direction. It gives you a confidence in knowing, like, you don't halfway pursue Jesus. You go all in. And that's the thing is like, I find that why sometimes relationships crumble is because from many counseling sessions, from many people, a common denominator is, I didn't think the guy was fully committed. If you can't be fully committed to Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to fully commit to a person. Seeking Him with all your heart, because the thing is people can tell when it's not everything. People can tell. It doesn't take rocket science. People know when your heart isn't fully in something. So understand, if people can see that, how much more can God see that? Yet He still wants you to trust Him. He's not offended. That's the thing I never can understand. If I were God, I would be so offended by everyone. I would be like, dang, you guys don't trust me? I sent my son, my only son, and you doing this? But Jesus, His love is so immense. He is waiting even tonight for your life, your ambitions, everything to be aligned to Him, to trust Him with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, that next verse, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Notice that it says all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean your Christian ways. Even how you handle relationships, even how you handle your jobs, even how you handle friendships, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So ask yourself this question. Can I say that with confidence? Are all my ways acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life? And He will make your path straight. If you're wanting clarity in your life, if you're wanting to know how do I level up, seek Jesus and He will make your life simple. He will make your life so simple. So here's the challenge for you guys all tonight. If you're saying, I want to level up in the power of the Lord, if I'm wanting to seek the Lord, the challenge is this. What in your life needs to change? I don't want you just to say, man, I felt that. That's good. We all feel things, but if you don't make a intentional goal to do something with it, it'll just be another Thursday. For those in relationship, I encourage you, talk to your person. Ask them, how do we see God? How is my pursuit of God independent of yours? If you're not married, it's still independent. Until the two are one, they're still two. Math, right? Sorry, I'm Indian, my bad. I know, real complex. But honestly, don't make it like, oh yeah, we're both doing this. You have to have a solid relationship with the Lord, because if you don't, and you're waiting for your significant other to have it, I'm going to tell you, you're both going to be caught red-handed wondering, hey, why didn't you lift me up? Why didn't you tell me this problem? You're going to fall into cycles, and it's not going to be healthy. And what it's going to do is it's going to pervert what a holy relationship is meant to be. Pointing people to Jesus. You and I can point people to Jesus, but we have to look at our life and say, God, I must decrease. But ask yourself, what is it that I'm decreasing in? If you're like, yeah, God, you can have everything, but nothing in your life changes. That's just a statement for the moment. Don't you think he's worthy of something more? He's worthy of it. And he invites us to experience his power, his love. But he wants you and I to know that all of us in this moment just need a time to reflect. So before we do worship or anything, I want everyone here just to take a moment to bow their heads. Because the thing is like you, this isn't something you need to have any emotional stimulation for. This is you and Jesus. Just in a few moments, I want you to ask this question to the Lord. It's this: God, how can I decrease? What in my life do I need to surrender? Because I want to seek you. I want to know that you are the greatest thing. I want you to fulfill every desire that I have and remove the desires that are not of you. But teach me how to seek you, how to spend time, how to crave after you. I'm going to give you a moment. What I want you to do is ask the Lord. There's not going to be anything happening here. But in this silence, I believe and I know that the Holy Spirit is moving. That the Holy Spirit is wanting to empower you with one step. I don't want you to make a whole lifelong list. Just one step. That he is going to direct your path, and you're going to have so much confidence because, God, you helped me with this one step. You're the one who got me this far. You're going to give me the strength to make one step tonight. And in the silence, as you ask the Lord, if there are things that you need to repent of as we worship, come to the altar. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. God is wanting to cleanse you, to heal and redeem you. He wants to love on you. He wants to empower you. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to level up?
Thank you guys for listening to our series on leveling up. Knowing your season and thriving. My prayer is that you take these verses, take the insight, the wisdom from everyone who spoke, and live this out so that you can see God revealed through your life. May God bless you as you listen and walk this out.